Before it happened, God used him to declare the coming of Jesus Christ. He said in Isaiah 9 and 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called," read this part with me, "Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Nobody like our Jesus, amen. What an awesome God. And then it says in verse 7, "Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth forever and ever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." And back then and even now, sometimes you wonder who's in charge around here. This world is a crazy place. But the reality is, when Jesus Christ came as a baby, his destiny was to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so that his government, his leadership, his rulership over all the lives of people that would turn to him, and his peace, man, we could use that peace. It will never end. It will never end. And so I want to just preach to you for a little bit here today, the mission of Christmas. The mission of Christmas. Let's ask the Lord to speak to us, church, and everyone that can. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I feel the power of your Spirit flowing mightily in this place today. I sense that you have not just a word, a powerful word and a powerful impact for us. In the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. Praise God. God bless you. You may be seated. When I think of the mission of Christmas, my mind immediately goes to that scene. It's about a week or two before Christmas, and all of the cousins have gathered at Grandpa's house, and man, they are on a mission because they know time is running out, and they're discussing with great passion what they want for Christmas and the possibility that they may or may not get everything. One cousin pipes up, "Well, it's simple. It's all about Santa. He's got this list, and he knows if you've been naughty. He knows if you've been nice." So really, for some of you cousins, it's already done. It's over. That's on you, honey. And then someone else piped out, no, it's not about that. It's mommy and daddy. They tell us about Santa, but they're really working to get us some nice stuff. And if we'll be especially sweet to them this next week, it could put us over the top. Might even clean my room. Might even take out the trash, but we're on a mission. Someone else, the spiritual cousin in the bunch, that would have been me probably. Really, guys, we just got to seek God. It's in the hands of the Lord now. And if we'll just pray, maybe we'll get what we want. Sure enough, that one won out and convinced them. They had a little prayer meeting there, and they're all just kind of mumbling, "Now I lay me down to sleep," or "Bless this food," whatever they could come up with. But a couple were saying, "God, you know that Wii, you know that Xbox, all that stuff." One of them was getting pretty intense. "Oh, we need it, Lord. Gotta have that Xbox One. Gotta have those virtual reality, whatever you call them." One of the cousins said, "Man, you don't have to scream. God's not deaf." He said, "Yeah, but Grandpa is." They were on a mission. The reality is this, there's a lot of people on a mission at Christmas time. But we know Christmas is more than Santa. And Christmas is more than even snow and decorations. And it's more than toys, and it's more than gifts. It's even more than food, and we like all that stuff. But I think sometimes if we're not careful, we get so consumed with the what of Christmas that we lose sight of the why of Christmas, even those of us that know what Christmas really is all about. So look with me, if you will. I know it's a familiar passage, but it deserves our attention during this season. Matthew 1, picking up at verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. This is how it happened. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. We're about to be married, and I find out that you're going to have a baby, and that's not my baby, and this is trouble, and I could really make a scene. I could make an example of you, but I just kind of want this to go away. But while he was thinking on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. This does not have to be a long message today, because that is the mission of Christmas. God's mission for Christmas is that he would save his people from their sins. And this is so important, even amongst those of us that really know why we're celebrating. But you have to really consider this today. God's mission for Christmas matters more than our mission for Christmas. Because right about now, so many, even us included, man, we are on a mission. We are full speed ahead with all of our holiday plans. And think about it a moment. Joseph had plans too. He was on a mission. Marriage was his mission. And if he's anything like any man that was ever excited about getting being married, that was his priority. He might have been going to God about, oh God, ever since that day I saw Mary, I can't stop thinking about her. And I know probably in those days the parents had a lot more to do with who was getting married to who, but I can imagine there was something inside of this little man, Joseph, that marriage mattered more than anything else. And God said, I'm gonna interrupt your plan, son. Can I say this without making anybody nervous? Every now and then it's good for God to interrupt our plans. And if there is ever a season where it would be okay for God to interrupt our plans, it ought to be Christmas. That all of a sudden the mission of Joseph is going to take a back seat to the mission of Jesus. And let me be a Joseph for just a moment and say, God, sometimes when I think about everything I got scheduled and everything I'm working on and everything it takes for my family and our church family to have a great Christmas, I feel like my plans are just what they ought to be. But God, if you want to interrupt my plans, what matters more to us at Christmas is the mission of Christmas than the means of how we celebrate Christmas. And God, we could use some divine interruptions around here. Maybe privately there's somebody here that when you consider some of the stress that you're about to walk into the rest of this year, just trying to make Christmas special, and it's not that you don't love your family, but you got the pressure from the job and the pressure from the finances. Meanwhile, you got all these needs that are mounting up in your heart, and the burden of your soul is saying, God, we're going to have the dinner, and we're going to have the friends over, and we're going to have the presents, and all of that has its place, but I wish you could interrupt all of the craziness, and let me just feel a little bit of peace, and let me just feel a little bit of joy. I want to tell somebody today that there is a mission of Christmas, and that mission of Christmas could break forth upon us for just a few minutes here today, and everything about this season could change if we could connect with what matters to God even more than what matters to us. Can I say this? And I know I'm literally preaching to the choir. But that's why we have a concert tonight. That's why we work so hard. That's why they practice so much. That's why they put in the extra hours. That's why they try to do a little something special with decorations and with music and all the rest. That's why some of you invite your friends and invite your coworkers. That's why you get involved. And some of you will come early and help us with greeting people so they feel welcome when they come. And then some of you say, man, I ain't much of a singer, but bless God, I'm a worshiper. And I know for God to really touch the lives of people, it's going to take more than music and more than singing. It's going to take the Holy Ghost getting up. So I'm going to get there a little bit early, and I'm going to be prayed up and ready. The first time they start to sing, I'm going to clap my hands, and I'm going to raise my hands when it's appropriate. And all the while, I'm going to worship Jesus, because there's a mission of Christmas. And that mission is to seek and to save the lost. That's why we give to Christmas for Christ. Because we're honest enough to realize, wow, Christmas can become all about my mission. Christmas can become all about my family. And Christmas can become all about my plans. But here's Christmas for Christ, and all of a sudden I can stop everything and say, God, help me to give the best gift. You know what some people believe that means? Whatever I'm going to spend on the family and the friends, I'm going to spend that much or more on Christmas for Christ. You think that's crazy? No, it's not crazy. It's the mission of Christmas. And the mission of Christmas is so valuable and so critical that whether it's giving to Christmas for Christ or working on a concert that blesses someone that maybe has never heard the gospel, or perhaps it's what you do personally. Perhaps you give a gift to someone, and in that gift, it's an expression of your love, because you realize here's someone that looks like they're going through a rough time and they're hurting, and maybe I can give them something during the Christmas season that says, man, there are people that love you. I love you, and God loves you. And even though there's some situations in your life, I can't really figure out what you ought to do, I can do this. I can bring you to Jesus. I can share his love. I can let you feel his power. And the ultimate experience of Christmas is to know that he can change your life. Is there anybody here that would raise a hand and just thank the Lord? Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. I know, Lord, at Christmas time especially, I realized that I was lost in sin, but you came to this earth to make a way for me, to make salvation possible to me. In the name of the Lord Jesus. It's not a Christmas story, but it's part of Christmas. Look at Romans 5. Picking up at verse number 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Can I say this about Christmas? Bethlehem was not the end of the mission. Bethlehem, in one sense, was the beginning. Truly, if you study it out, it even happened before Bethlehem. Because before the foundations of the world, it was determined that Jesus Christ would be the lamb that was slain for the sins of every person. That is the mission of Christmas. And if you look again at scripture with me, I want you to think of the Christmas story just for a moment from a context that's going to seem very, very personal. Look at Luke chapter 1. We're picking up at verse number 30, and the angel says to Mary, fear not, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And look what Mary says to the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? I'm marrying Joseph, and I have been faithful and pure. I have not allowed my covenant before him to be violated with him or anybody else. How am I going to have a baby? Look at the answer the angel gave. This is the part that I believe you can identify with personally. It says, the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. This is the mission of Christmas. That what the Holy Ghost produced naturally in Mary, the Holy Ghost produces spiritually in everybody that puts their faith in Jesus Christ. That's the mission of Christmas. Do you know that it is still happening today, even though we are thousands of years removed from Bethlehem, when someone comes to the Lord and puts their faith in him and they repent of their sins and they ask the Lord to fill their hearts with his Spirit? Do you know it still happens today that people have a new birth experience and Jesus Christ is born spiritually in side of their life? That is the mission of Christmas. That the Holy Ghost still overshadows people. And when the Holy Ghost overshadows you, something is born inside of you. That's the mission of Christmas. You think about it this way for just a moment. The Bible says, this is Galatians 2. This is a verse that is pretty popular. Some could quote it. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. When did that happen? When Christmas became personal with you. Jesus was born in you. When you repented of your sins, you were baptized in his name. He was born in you. You were filled with the Holy Ghost. What is that? That's the Spirit of Jesus Christ. That's Jesus Christ inside of you. In fact, the Bible says this in 1 John, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Who is he that is in you? That is Jesus Christ that is born inside of every single one of us. That's why Bethlehem is just the beginning of the mission. The ultimate goal of the mission is what happened in Bethlehem, happens in our hearts when we let Jesus be born in us. If that's happened to you, would you raise your hands, or would you clap your hands, or in your own way, would you worship and honor as if to say, glory to God in the highest. I've got Jesus inside of me. I've got peace inside of me. I've got joy inside of me. I've got hope inside of me. May I say it this way, and I understand time is running out, but this is important for us to consider at Christmas, because it's the mission of Christmas. God has a gift for everybody at Christmas. Look at Acts chapter 2. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, I know I cannot compete with Best Buy and the mall and all that. It's hard to compete with all that. And you're thinking gift, you're thinking, show me the money. And that's okay, I understand, we're all human. But what if someone here today realizes, I don't care what they put under a tree somewhere for me. My heart is so empty. I've been to the best holiday gatherings in the past, and I've always enjoyed my friends, but I've always felt like there must be more. That is the mission of Christmas, that somewhere in a song, somewhere in a display, somewhere in a sermon, somebody would say, wait a minute, you mean it's bigger than Bethlehem? Yes, it is. You mean it's bigger than just a history story? Yes, it is. Jesus wants to be born in the heart of every person here. Oh, that ought to make you want to clap your hands and say, Jesus, be born in me. And so I say, don't miss the mission of Christmas. Oh, yeah. I know the angel spoke to the shepherd and said, there is going to be in swaddling clothes a baby in the manger. But that's not the mission of Christmas. In fact, when you use the word mission, there's another word that you always want to see with mission. And that word is exciting. It's the word accomplished. You want to be able to say mission accomplished. But you cannot say mission accomplished just because you've discovered the baby in a manger. You've got to discover that Jesus in your life before you can say mission accomplished. You've got to discover what happens when you truly repent of your sins and when you're baptized in Jesus' name and all your sins are washed away. I'm talking about more than even something you do when you're young and you hardly know what's going on. I'm talking about someone saying, I've got to have more than just religion. I've got to have Jesus born in my life. That's when you can say mission accomplished. In fact, the angels cry, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. But we cannot stamp mission accomplished upon the display of angels, because the journey of Jesus must go beyond the singing of angelic choirs and beyond the look of heavenly hosts and all of the beauty, all that is described. The mission is more than that. In fact, in Acts chapter 10, we read this about Jesus as he grew and began to touch the lives of people. This is significant in this message. Verse 38, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. Everybody say, doing good. And healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now surely we can stamp mission accomplished there. Look, he's doing good. He's healing people. People that have the devil oppressing them, they're being delivered. But the mission is more than doing good. The mission is more than even people being healed. The mission is more than all of that. You know, the season that we're in right now is the season, and I thank God for everybody we can help, but it is the season when we get more requests to help people financially than any other season. But you know what does not spike is those requests. Would you pray for me that my sins might be forgiven? Because now the church has been consumed and convinced that our mission is accomplished just when we do good, just when we help somebody be healed, just when we maybe wrap a few toys. All of that has its place, but our mission is not accomplished just because we're doing good. His mission was not accomplished just from doing good. His mission was not accomplished just from healing a few sick folks. His mission was not accomplished even from those that were delivered from the devil. You know when his mission was accomplished? It's when he said, "It is finished." Mission accomplished. Sins are forgiven. Sins are atoned for. Sins are paid for. That's the mission of Christmas. Oh, could you clap your hands as if to thank the Lord? Praise God. As the musicians come, so at Christmas, we speak of the manger. We speak of the shepherds. We speak of the angels. We speak of the baby. But our mission is so much more. So at Christmas, we're doing good. We try to do good all through the year, but we try to do a little bit more because it's Christmas. We try to love each other, and we try to love others. It's Christmas. But our mission is more. Can I help somebody experience their sins being forgiven? Because it's Christmas. And that is the mission. Maybe I can give my time and my talent for the children's Christmas program, or maybe even the concert. But my mission is not to just have people say, wow, that was awesome. That's not my mission. My mission is maybe somebody will hear something in a song or something in what is said, and they will say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins and be born in me. That's why, and I know I sound redundant, but it's not enough for the choir to be ready for tonight. You need to be ready for tonight. And while you're sitting there seeing the singing and all that's going on, there needs to be something in your heart. Jesus, fill somebody tonight. Jesus, touch somebody tonight. Jesus, let your spirit reach for somebody. Why? Because it's bigger than Bethlehem. The mission of Christmas is when Jesus is born. That's why I may wrap a few gifts and give them to some family members. I may reach out to help someone that's certainly less fortunate than I. And my goodness, we are so blessed. But it's not going to be limited to that. I will give the best gift to Jesus. My check for Christmas for Christ will be bigger than my check for Best Buy or check for Sears or all that. You know why? Because the mission of Christmas is bigger than all that. And I want to make sure that I am connected to the reality that if somebody is lost, all of my efforts and all of my attempts and all of my passion, everything that I'm connected with somewhere in all of the process, let it lead to somebody being saved. Because that's the mission of Christmas. Look again, if you will, Isaiah 9, and go ahead and stand if you don't mind. This is our closing verse. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Guys, just leave that scripture right there. Thank you for giving your time and your talent at Christmas time. Thank you for giving your treasure, your money at Christmas time. All of that so someone might be saved. But can I beg some of you, and I know for some of you this may not be something you're prepared for, but could everybody in here consider somewhere between now and the end of this Christmas season, could you give your testimony to somebody about what Jesus means to you? Just pick a word there, Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince. Pick one of those categories. And when God opens the door, I'm not saying preach to them, but when they say, man, I'm just so tired, man, Christmas has worn me out, that's when you might say, you know what's interesting? I used to feel just that way. But I started focusing on Jesus this Christmas. And I realized, man, there is some peace that he's given me that I should never have. But it seems like when I've been the most stressed out, I've taken a few moments and I've just talked to him. And that's what I'm talking about. That's the mission of Christmas. Please, thank you for your talent and thank you for your money. But use your testimony. And someone that's lost, maybe something you can say can conjure up in them the drawing of the Spirit of God until he's born. And finally, I want you to see this last verse. It's the next one, of the increase of his government and peace. There shall be no end. How's this going to happen? Look at the end of that verse. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. It's hard for me to imagine, but you got to be pretty pumped up to be God and say, I'm going to become a man. You got to be eat up with some zeal right there. To be in heaven where you are large and in charge. And say, I know what's going to happen when I get down there as a baby. A lot of people are going to miss everything I'm doing. And then as I grow, they're going to like the show, but some of them are not going to like the message. And then I'm setting myself up to die for their sins. And those nails are going to pierce my hands and my feet. And that crown of thorns is going to be. How in the world do you accomplish that mission? Zeal. I love lost people so much, and I know that sins will destroy every person, and the zeal of the Lord has eaten me up. So I will do whatever I have to do to rescue somebody. For this church family, more than any other prayer you might pray in a moment, would you raise your hands and say, God, let a little bit of that zeal get a hold of me this Christmas. Because God, sometimes I'm a little bit shy about talking to people about you. And I know during the holiday time, sometimes even with family, I'm embarrassed to really bring up the subject. I need some wisdom because I don't want to be sounding off like a preacher or something like that. But I wish a little bit of zeal would get a hold of me, God, because there's been some conversations I knew you were wanting to do something. There have been some people I knew you were wanting me to say something. I was so afraid. I was so intimidated. But Lord, let a little bit of that zeal get a hold of me. Oh God, we're not trying to conjure something up. We're not trying to manipulate or make something happen. But we do believe the mission of Christmas is still ongoing. We do believe the mission of Christmas is unfolding. Every single holiday season, there is a mission, Lord, to seek and to save the lost, to reach for someone that might have sin that you want to forgive and save. Oh God, let the zeal that you have for this mission, let it become a part of us. And then you imagine this building's filled with people right now. Y'all all look great, but how scary is it to be somewhere in this crowd and say, man, there's no way I'm going to that altar. I mean, I enjoyed the service and his preaching wasn't too bad, but I'm not going to go up there and say, God, I need you. That's just too much for me. What if in just a moment we all came forward, everybody that can, and we just came to the altar and we just begin to pray in our own way. Jesus, I love you. Thank you for being born in me. Jesus, I'm so busy in this season, but I want to stop everything right now and say, Lord, let this season be about you. Whether it's in my giving and loving people, let it be triggered, Lord, towards caring for the lost and reaching for someone that doesn't know you. Not just loving my own family, not just caring for those that are closest to me. God, expand my borders. Yeah. Yeah. Or it might be, Lord, I don't know if I remember the last time you spoke to me about giving to Christmas for Christ. I kind of give something every year because I know that's what we do. But God, I'm willing, if you would speak to me, to make my best gift a gift for Christmas for Christ. Why? Because it's the mission that matters more than anything. And while all that's going on, what if someone else could come up here and they would look like everybody else? They would fit in, they would blend in like everybody else. And very quietly, they would just say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. God, I'm not trying to pretend I'm something I'm not. In fact, I've tried to be a follower and a believer for a long time. But I do know sometimes I get so full of me and so full of this world that I don't even know if it's the last time I felt that peace, that sense of your presence. So clean out all the clutter, Lord. Just forgive me. And after you pray that prayer in your own way, Jesus, thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for forgiving me. And Lord, if I've truly never experienced you being born in me, I know I've felt you and I know you've touched me and I know you've helped me, but if I'm missing something when that preacher talked about you being born in me, Jesus, fill me with your spirit right now. Fill me with your spirit right now. And just worship him. Just praise him. Your own words from your own heart. I love you, Jesus. Why are we doing that at the end of this service? Because that's the mission of Christmas. The mission of Christmas is not just our program. The mission of Christmas is not just our songs. The mission of Christmas is not just our concerts. The mission of Christmas is Jesus seeking and saving the lost. Church, would you come? Guests, would you come? Brothers and sisters, would you come? We've got a few...